Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, our listeners, can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. Check it out for yourself, betterhelp.com/ghost stories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, is there a very real haunting and a very real haunted attraction in New York?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become a supporter. We call them extra podcast people. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or over at patreon.com. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or go to patreon.com/realghoststories and get access to all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, all the archive, all of it commercial free, no ads. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, 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 look at who it is.
I'm back in the studio after a week of, and this is airing at the beginning of this is the beginning of 2022.
Yes.
But we're recording this right after Thanksgiving break, and I was gone for a full week, but I saw you in person.
How long has it been? I said at least 10 years.
I think it's been less than that. I think we had lunch
really?
At some point. I don't think it's been quite 10. I'd say like 5, maybe.
Shit, I thought for sure it was like the last time we went out was like at Fusion or something like that. That'd be like 15 years God. Ago or something like
Didn't
that.
Maybe it might have been actually where we just went the other day when it was the main exchange. I think we had lunch up there once.
You're right. You were up with the family and I did see you there. That's correct.
So that was like probably 5 to 8 years ago.
Yeah, I would say closer to 10, but between 8 and 10, yeah.
Okay, somewhere around there, yeah. Because I think, yeah, just kind of placing what was going on in my life at the time, I don't think I even had Harper yet, so I think you're right.
Correct.
It was somewhere around. So, yeah, at least nine years. Wow, my God, I didn't realize that. But, yeah, that was, I had a fun trip, kind of going up and seeing the sights and then wandering around the cemetery, making people uncomfortable. That was good times. So I go to Rienzi Cemetery, and I've talked about the cemetery on the air a gazillion times. And what I used to do when I was a kid, I'd run in there with my proton pack, pretending I was a Ghostbuster. And when you're a kid, I think they may give you a little more grace. It wasn't that cute. Look at that little boy over there as I'm mourning over Uncle Larry. This time, the way I went into the cemetery, and I don't think I honestly disturbed anybody. It was pretty dead in there, pardon the pun. I brought a drone in, and I flew the drone all over the cemetery and got a bunch of really cool pictures. But there was a couple times, there was one time where I was like hovering and I couldn't quite tell how high I was. And suddenly I just see like a car like come right out from underneath the drone. And I think I was, it had been it's a tad bit lower. I think I would have been struck.
Wow.
But it was fun going in there. We got some really interesting responses as well at Rienzi.
See, now I knew that you were out there. I saw the video, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard anything about, really anything that you'd gotten other than what I saw in the video. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. We didn't do EVPs, but there's that app that I use that has the Ovilus type thing. And this one has been super, it's seemingly accurate or relevant, I should say, at many places that we've been to. So it's been kind of my go-to one. So we brought that thing out there. And quite honestly, a lot of places, it's slow. Every once in a while you'll get something. That when we were in there, almost every 30 seconds, it was giving me something. And I would say 7 out of 10 times it was relevant to what we were asking or talking about.
very exciting. My sister saw the video and she said, and she was talking about Harper. She's like, I can't imagine going in there at her age. Because I think at one point you guys were talking about one of the casket things that's kind of over above ground.
Yes.
And she says something to the effect of like, you never know what's lurking inside. And I yes. laughed really hard. But my sister's like, oh my God, can you imagine being that young? And I'm like, it doesn't even faze her, you know?
No, she loves it. I mean, the thing is, I was at her age doing the exact same thing. Yep. So I get it. It's just it's a fascination, and it's like a love of the history with a cemetery. And I think just kind of there's like a connection there, like an appreciation for everybody that's there that maybe just doesn't get the attention that they, you know, they deserve. And it just kind of feels nice and right to be walking around and reading the stones and just trying to learn about it. There's so many ways to learn about things like that now.
Nice way to kind of make a connection, even if it's not in the spiritual world, just to kind of, like you said, see the headstones, think about what that person's life was like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so we go into it with a lot of respect, and it's like a history lesson, and we get some fun stuff in where we do the little ghost stuff. But it was really interesting. There were a lot of responses. I'd say probably the most compelling was, we were walking in this one area and we were getting a name, and we were trying to look on all the stones for the name, and we couldn't quite find it. And I said, if you could, if we're close to where you're at, and there's a lot of stones I can't read, can you, try and light up the thing in Harper's hand? And she was carrying a K2 meter around.
Right.
And then the next thing it says to me is meter.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't even say like meter out loud. So if somebody's like, well, does maybe the app hears words and then repeats them? I didn't even say meter. I said the thing in Harper's hand. So, I mean, that was like really on the spot, really exactly on time. There was a couple other areas too where it really did seemed to make some sense. We're in this area of a McDonald family, and a lot of the things it was saying kind of made sense as to who somebody might be, where we should be, where are you? What area are you at? And it said big, wide. And then we looked over and there's this giant big and wide stone that kind of is the center of this area of the cemetery. So we kind of assumed, you know, this was that telling us, you know, this is where I am. I'm over here by the big and wide stone. Right. I mean, it's all conjecture. You could read into it any which way, but it's something when you have those moments and you just, you know, you glance up and like, oh my gosh, that actually could correspond. I think it's a lot of times, you know, people talk too. It's not always super duper clear as to what somebody is meaning or saying, but when they get it out, or express it in their own way, you know, you get it. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense in the context of whatever we're talking about. So,
correct.
I think they communicate in that same sort of way too. But now the video is up on our social media, on our YouTube pages, and all that. But yeah, check it out. Dad, Daughter, and the Dead, episode 4, Ryanzi Cemetery. It was fun. And I got to fly around by the old creepy house too. And I'll talk about that in a little bit.
That was cool too.
And that's a place we've talked about on the air before. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this story first. It says, the brand new Legoland is built on haunted land. Okay. This is the accusation from a listener. I am local to the Goshen area. I lived in Goshen for a while, 3 years ago, but have resided in neighboring town since 2001. Before, there was an abandoned farmhouse viewable from this highway, and I believe they're talking about a Legoland in New York. This farmhouse was where two women's bodies were dumped by Nathaniel White, an American serial killer. Don't believe me? Check the Google machine. According to Wikipedia, he brutally beat and stabbed 6 women to death, and 2 of the bodies were found on this property. And they give me the link to the Wikipedia article. When I was about 17, my friends and I enjoyed ghost hunting, and we visited Nathaniel White House many times. It was late, dark, and spooky as we approached the house. The front door was boarded up, but a hole was kicked in from other kids or young adults interested in exploring this abandoned farmhouse. We pulled out our flip phones, opened the voice recorder to try to catch any EVPs as we started to enter the house. The house was just an empty house, like any other abandoned house. We didn't see much during our visit. There was a lake or pond nearby that bodies were found in, and we explored that a little. We didn't catch anything. There were no apparitions or voices or anything. It was a thrill to be there, but we were upset we didn't see anything. When we got back to my street, we pulled out our phones, started listening to our EVPs. The recording, and one recording, stood out. It happened in the very beginning of our investigation. We were all hyped up and chattering on how creepy it is to be there and contemplating going into the house. During our chattering and contemplating, a blood-curdling scream shouting, "No!" Then the recording of our conversations and chatter carried on as no one heard it while we continued inside the house. The EVP we got was one of the two girls who were cousins and died from being beaten in the face and head. I believe the scream, "No!" that we heard was either a warning for us not to go inside or a residual haunting of a girl witnessing her cousin's demise or reliving her very own. To make you feel better, the location of the old farmhouse is being used as a drainage ditch. There are no rides on or anywhere near the location, and the parking lot is further from the highway than the house and lake were located. I just find it pretty crazy Legoland, New York is on the property where bodies were dumped by a local serial killer. Thank you for reading this. I'm an EPP for the last 4 months. My job is tedious and boring, and being able to listen to this podcast is very helpful in getting me through my workday. I have literally a ton of stories I plan on sharing, ranging from ghost hunting adventures to experiences with entities residing in my old house built by a colonel of the Civil War, and many more. I look forward to sharing and hoping to hear my stories on the air. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank a supporter of our program today, BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on the show. And this month, we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, some people think you should wait until things are unbearable before you go to therapy. That's a horrible idea. It's not true. It's not a good strategy. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse. Of course, if you're already there, yes, please get some help. But if you can, it's kind of the calm before you, the storm, and you see the storm coming, that's a good time to jump in and kind of get things in place and get yourself mentally ready for whatever storm it is that you feel may be ahead of you. Might be kind of avoid some of those lows. We've also been taught that mental health shouldn't be a normal part of life. That's kind of like saying healthy eating and diet are just, they don't need to be a normal part of life. Yeah, they kind of do. If you'd like to be healthy physically, being healthy mentally, it's having some good mental health strategies for you. BetterHelp can help you with that. We take care of our bodies, gym, the doctor, nutrition. We should be focusing on our minds just as much. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. It can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp's online therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Real Ghost Stories listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. That's betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Well, there you go. I know what I want to do next time I'm in New York. Harper, we're going to go to Legoland. And guess what? It's haunted as hell.
Bring the kids to the new Legoland. Here's the thing, too. This is a prime example where you kind of know, according to Wikipedia and this person's account of it, that some stuff happened. But this kind of thing is all over the place. A lot of these cities that started very early on in our country's history, moved cemeteries, didn't move cemeteries, built over the top of them. A lot of thought process didn't go into that stuff back then. So in general areas in a lot of smaller towns and cities and stuff like that, there are buildings built on top of graveyards all the time. And then you throw in like the Native Americans and things like that. And that stuff's just off the charts here.
Yeah, it really is. And that's something I don't think a lot of people are aware of. There's certainly a lot of, you know, Native American burial grounds that have been built over without regard when this, you know, happened. Today, not so much, I don't believe. But, you know, there was a time and place where they didn't give a shit. They're like, oh, we're going to build. And it wasn't, you know, and then things ended up happening. But there were also, you're exactly right, with the expansion of so many, you know, especially like colonial towns and cities, their graveyards were certain places. And eventually, as growth happens, it's like, we really want to put a building over here. And it's like, well, who are these? But well, they're 100 years old and then barely know.
Yep.
Put the build on it. And so, yeah, you have that sort of stuff. It's really interesting. And I'm finding more and more stories like that. There was a couple I recently heard, and I cannot for the life of me think of exactly where or what they were. But I believe there's also a park. God, I want to say it's in New York, and it's not Central Park. I could be wrong. It was a park in some city somewhere that's a very beautiful green space, and you see pictures of people just, you know, resting and enjoying and having a great time. And if you look it up, the park was a cemetery, and a majority right. of the bodies never moved, and they didn't have markers anymore. And now it's just like, you know, it's not even marked as a cemetery or talked about unless you look at like the previous, you know, the history of the land itself. But there's a lot of that. And that's kind of weird to think about.
A lot of cities also did the thing where if there was a cemetery in a certain location and they wanted to build there, they would quote unquote move the bodies. Mm-hmm. And one would think they'd be meticulous about picking up, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones and dropping them in the right position. But to be honest with you, a lot of it that was done in haste back then, and they would just take bodies and, you know, put the markers anywhere. So the true story of one here in town was they wanted to build a university, and part of the area that they wanted to put buildings on was a cemetery. So they just started lifting bodies out, putting them in another cemetery and just loading them up with headstones. We don't know if that part of the cemetery is actual or if the headstones are all messed up. So, oh, I mean, that happened God. A lot back in the day.
Wow. Which is Oshkosh or Fond du Lac?
Oshkosh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that one. I got to say, so the area, some of the university was built on this spot, and then...
Right, so some of the university there, so they took that and put it in one of the other cemeteries, which is Riverside Cemetery.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. I did get a little feedback, and my mom's been wanting to tell you this for a while. She says that the Ryanzi area where... You were thinking that it was excommunicated nuns. She claims to know that it's not excommunicated nuns. When I asked for how she knows, she didn't really know how she knows. But so I don't know. If they were excommunicated, I guess why would the church still be burying them would be my question. Or I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on all of that?
I mean, I'm not really sure myself.
Yeah.
This is just information that, you know, it's that lore kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's an oddity because it's a very odd place in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. It's online as that's part of the story. If you look up Ryanzi Cemetery, it's in the, you know, okay. in the Wikipedia part of it.
Ooh. Okay.
So, I mean, it you can find it online pretty easily if you look it up. So I don't know, you okay. know, and it's just whatever you believe in that whole thing. It's still an odd situation where there's this area kind of set aside with one headstone and these markers on in four locations.
And it's kind of like, weird. Where are they at? You know, because.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. Okay. I never knew there was a Wikipedia for it. I got to read that. That would be that'd be interesting to read. I hope your version of the story is true because it's more creepy.
Well, and the thing is, even if it's not, that's the one I'm going with.
Exactly. Let's just stick with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, me and my girlfriend took a trip to my parents' house in St. Augustine since they were out on a business trip. We live in South Carolina, so we had to fly. I looked up at the overhead clock in Terminal 3 and noticed that it was 11:11 a.m. That's when things started getting weird. We got on a plane and sat down. Nothing strange or out of the ordinary happened on a flight to Florida. We touched down, took a cab to the dealer. We rented a Lincoln Navigator. We drove to my parents' house, which took approximately 2.5 hours. Still, nothing out of the ordinary. When we arrive, we find the front door unlocked. Figure my parents left it unlocked for us, even though I have a key, as it doesn't always unlock it. It jams extremely easily. As I walked in, everything seemed normal. Me and my girlfriend's morning was finished by the time we got there, so we went to the movies and then dinner. I decided to check my phone to see if I had gotten any texts, but I noticed it was 11:11 p.m., which was an unlikely coincidence. At least that's what I thought it was. When we got home, we went straight to bed because we were both exhausted and planned on going to the beach the next day. I'm usually an early bird, and for me to sleep in is rare. My girlfriend is an early bird as well, but she decided to let me sleep in and went to my parents' pool in the backyard and left a note on the nightstand saying that she went on for a quick swim. I looked at the clock on my dad's side of the bed and it was 11:11 a.m. I got chills. That is three coincidences. My father is a Marine, so I have the virtues of there is no such thing as a coincidence. We had a normal day. The next night, we had some intimacy. I fell asleep at 1:03 a.m. I woke up at 11:11 a.m. to find my arms and legs were completely numb. The lights were off and the curtains were closed. The curtains moved, and there was the shape of a human in them. I closed my eyes and opened them again to see the curtains were back to normal. I looked at the clock, and it was 12:14 p.m. My girlfriend walked in the room and told me that I was screaming. I did not scream during that. It seemed like my sleep paralysis. She tried comforting me, which worked. I never took her back there again in fear that the place was haunted. Well, I kind of, I think I make that same assumption.
I think so too. Do you ever get the 11:11, 12:12, 1:11 kind of thing in your life?
I got the 11:11 the other day, and 11:11 is like a good luck thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because yeah, me and my girlfriend were texting back and forth about something. And it was like, it was a real positive message. I don't remember what it was specifically. I'd have to look back. But she texted back. She goes, "You sent it at exactly 11:11.
Oh.
And I was like, "And?" Because I didn't know what it meant. So I didn't say "and." So I looked it up and I'm like, "Oh, okay. I get it." And it was like, "Well, that's kind of neat." But I don't have a lot of moments where I'm looking at the clock at the double digits like that. I do seem to notice 9/11 a lot, and I don't know if it's just because of 9/11 that I catch it now more than ever, but I don't look at the clock all that much, but I swear to God, I catch it quite frequently.
I get it all day long. In fact, what I do is if I catch it, I'll either take a snapshot of it on my phone or I'll screenshot it.
Mm-hmm.
And today alone, I got 10/10, 11/11, and 12/12. And then I got later in the afternoon, I get 1/4/3 a lot. And 1/4/3 stands for I love you.
Okay? Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm always told by people who like, my mom's been gone, and I always say I never have any communication with my mom. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I talk to in the woo-woo world always says, "Oh, your mom's always trying to communicate with you. Always. You're just not seeing it." Mm-hmm. And then I try to put two and two together. Maybe these are messages from her in some way, shape, or form.
Sure. And if you're seeing them on a regular basis, and now you're kind of making more recognition of it, that could very well be it.
Yeah.
I'm always confused when I get that response from people out there that are saying, "Oh, you know, this person's by you or that person's by you," and they're always trying to communicate. So I'm like, well, I wish I knew what to look for. I could hear or sense, because I very rarely feel like I'm got anybody hanging out by me saying jack,
right?
But I think you know, it's sometimes I think the more we can be, I guess, you know, it's being mindful to a certain extent and trying to be more in the moment. I think that's my problem half the time, is I am going 50 which ways in my mind, and I'm not quite present enough to pick up on some of those things.
Agreed. Me too.
And that's where I'm like, I really want to, that's something I've been thinking about for this year. You know, everybody makes their resolutions and all that. But that is something where I feel like I really want to do more of, is being more mindful and being more in the present. And I think it's more so, it's really helped me this last year, is trying to take things more one day at a time versus let me pre-plan the next 5 years every 5 minutes of my day. And, you know, and like, well, this decision could lead to that. You know, it helps out in a lot of ways because you can, things work out usually okay, but it drives you insane. And then you miss a lot of life at the same time. Right. So I think that's something that I, you know, there's my resolution for the new year. If anybody's like, what's your resolution then? I guess that's it. I don't know. That and, I think going and doing more ghost stuff, like on location, whether it's us investigating things or doing more live shows. I don't know. The live show stuff is still so up in the air because of COVID and everything. It's like, I was thinking maybe this year we could start kind of doing more of that. I was like, every time I was about to, I'm like, yeah, you know, you plan it a couple months out. And then you hear like in the news, like there's going to be a surge and there is a surge. Like, so I don't fucking know. At this point, it's like, we're just going to go outside and do the shows. And I'm going to
yeah,
sit in a tree.
And I think I want to get out and hunt a little bit more. And after we got together, I definitely want to get out and have more beer this year. So I missed that.
Yes. And it would be nice to see you more than once every 9 or 10 years. That would be
cool. Yeah.
It'd be neat. It was funny when I was visiting up in Wausau because I hadn't seen those guys for 20 years. Stacy, who I had breakfast with one day, she was one of the co-hosts on the morning show back in the day. She's like, you know, let's do this other than the another 20 years, because in 20 years, I'll be 70. I'm like, shit. God, that's true. It's just so weird to think of. So.
You know, we, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but we were talking about how some things, we went to a place, some things, the more they change, the more they stay the same. And yeah. I equated that with being a spirit or an energy. Can you imagine being in a location for that long? And it changes, but it kind of stays the same too.
Mm-hmm. And there's, yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And there's a lot of places, you know, with energy. And here's something I noticed, because anytime you go to a location you haven't been to in a long time, especially like a restaurant or something that's, you know, changed up completely in the many years that you haven't been there, there's a lot of times you go into the new place, it still has the feeling, especially if it's an yep. older building, of what it was before. And I yep. noticed that at the place we went to the other night, which was called Main Exchange back in the day, and I forget what it's called today, but it was like, It still felt kind of like that same energy, and it was like, it was a happy vibe. It was a place that had a lot of good memories in it. And it looked very different than it used to, but yeah, I mean, it's something where, you know, you can change the looks of places, but, the energy stays the same. I felt the same when I visited like my aunt and a couple other things. It also is kind of interesting. The smells of people's homes. And there's not a negative smell. It's just the uniqueness of, you know, you walk in like, okay, this always had that. I can't even tell you what it is. It's just the scent of these people that reside in this home in not a negative. It's not like a BO way. It's just, this is their home. The moment I walked in there, I'm like, yep, it smells like Holly's house. And like, wherever I went, it's like, yep, that smells like this. Yep, that smells like that. And it's just, it's a weird thing. I guess I have a jar that actually, it came from my grandparents' house. And if you open it up and smell the inside, it smells like their house.
You told me that story one time, yeah. And that is one of the coolest, creepiest stories ever.
And it doesn't make any sense because this thing used to be on their kitchen counter, and it was filled with lemon drops. And I would always go get lemon drops from it when I was a kid. So you would think the thing would smell like sugar and lemon drops. Not at all. It smells like the interior of their home.
Hmm.
It's just, yeah. It's like it's my grandparents' house in a bottle or in a mason jar. It's strange. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is my second time calling in. I had called once and discussed a friend of mine's passing and how I was connected to her spirit and everything. But I actually recently had a very similar incident occur in my life where in that my friend and coworker was brutally murdered by her husband. So being a coworker, there's only 6 of us employees at my office, one of which is my fiance. So needless to say, we were all very close. Not only were we friends outside of work, but definitely in the work environment as well. That being said, I got the call that she had been murdered from my fiance, and we didn't really know any details at the moment, but that night when I went to sleep, my fiance was staying up doing something, and I went to bed, and I woke up screaming like crazy loud and crying in my sleep, and my upper chest, like kind of where your neck, like in between your clavicle, I guess that would be, was on fire and just radiating like a spider web throughout my upper body. And then I had an image of what had happened, and I told my fiance right away, and it come to find out that she had been stabbed to death. We didn't know where she had been stabbed, but I knew it. I could sense that right where I had that burning sensation was the fatal blow. Well, we obviously didn't ask the family any details in terms of where she was stabbed or what have you. The news obviously didn't cover that aspect of it either. But when we went to the funeral, we saw that her neck and upper chest had to be covered with a scarf due to injuries. It was open casket. And at that point, I knew exactly that I had seen the image of what had happened, and I felt it the night that she had passed away. So I thought that was just really interesting, given that I remember telling my fiance, I know it. I know what happened. I know I saw it, and I know where it happened. And he's very, he doesn't usually believe me in things of that nature, but he believes me. And I don't know. I guess that maybe I have a stronger connection with loved ones than I had originally anticipated having. So thank you for what you do. Love the show. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts?
What a tragic story. I hate to hear stories like that. I also think too, you know, she might be open to certain things, but I think, you know, when there's a real tragedy like that, I think that energy comes through even stronger mm-hmm. than somebody just kind of passing away, either unexpectedly or expectedly. When something like that happens, it's just so tragic. I think that it affects people more, either in the moment mm-hmm. where like this person is actually feeling what happened, and just hearing the story affected me. I'm sitting here going, oh God, what a horrible, horrible story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when something happens in such a quick way, I mean, it's an impactful trauma that you end up experiencing more so than if it were something that was, you know, slow or expected or something like that. And that just makes anything harder to deal with. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. So if you haven't seen it yet, also on our social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever, I went out the other day with my drone when I was up in Wisconsin. And we've talked about this creepy house on the air many times. We call it the creepy house on K because it's on this road that's called K. And it's, if you've seen the pictures, and I've posted many over the years, it is the epitome of like what a haunted house looks like. Just these old gabled windows, very gothic looking. It's just spooky, and it's beautiful too at the same time, with all these giant trees and their branches hanging down like little arms over them. And it's something that's also apparently very well guarded and monitored. even though nobody's lived in the place for almost like 60, 70 years. And it's been kind of falling apart and windows are boarded up and broken. The lawn's always mowed to perfection, which is lovely. But the house just sits and it's been kind of a mystery as to why. So, of course, you get lore about it. You get rumors about it that this happened, that happened. And most of it's just complete BS. And I don't have any true documented ghost stories on the property. I've heard a lot of people tell a lot of different stories, and I've heard a lot more that actually do make more sense as to why the house is sitting there the way it is. Just kind of this unfortunate, never, the guy who owned it never really got a chance to take advantage of it and do what he wanted to, and it just kind of sat in disrepair, and now it just still kind of sits. But it does have a very storied history of its residence up until, like, I think the 50s is when it became unoccupied. And it's just spooky. So I always wanted to get close to this thing without going to jail. So I thought, you know, Robert Ballard took the Elvin down to the Titanic to get close to it, to kind of explore it close up.
Right.
So I thought, shit, I got a drone. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm going to fly in there. I'm not going to set foot on the property. And aviation wise, you can do that. And I wouldn't do it to an occupied home or anything like that. I'm just like, I'm just going to try and get it in there. So I initially go up to a church parking lot about a mile up the road, and I'm going to try and fly it in from there. And it's just a little bit too far, as far as me being comfortable with getting it in there and being close enough if I need to go get it. So I go back down the road, and I get in a little neighborhood kind of behind the house, and I fly it out of there. And keep in mind, this is like in the middle of a ton of trees, and you have a drone. So I'm trying to figure out how do I get in here? So I fly way up high in the sky over the house and all the trees, and I find an opening to go down in rather than like try and fly and navigate the trees left and right. So I just kind of dive it in like you do like under the grand staircase of Titanic. And then I'm also like, I was kind of quoting and dressed up like the people in the movie Titanic. It's like, move it in a little bit. Okay, go left. And then I had a woman named Rose next to me. Who is also giving me comment, oh, I can still smell the fresh paint. And I'm like, shut up, old woman. I'm trying to pay attention to not crash my drone. And I get it in there and I get some really cool shots of the house. And I go to see the back. I've never seen that before. That was pretty cool. Almost lost it once because I didn't consider this part. You can see going down with your drone, but you can't see going up.
Yeah.
And to get out of there, I got to navigate it to a place where I can get up out of the trees. So I really had to kind of eyeball it and try and figure out, okay, but where did I come down at initially and then get it back up? So I did find a place and started going up, up, up. And all of a sudden I see like shredded leaves flying in front of my camera. I'm like, oh shit. So I pulled it down real quick and then I did get it out of there. But I think a second longer and that thing would have been on the roof of that house. It'd be how do we get this now? But that would have been interesting. But I did get it out, and some really interesting shots of it. I've posted it on our social media. I even posted it on, you saw it too, over on like one of the like Forgotten Wisconsin group or something.
I did, and that made me go online and actually look up some old pictures of it to see what it looked like back in the day. Yeah. And just what a cool house. Like, I think, what did I read? It was built in 1873.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was somebody, yeah, somebody posted an article I had never read before, and I still haven't read it yet. I haven't had the time. But it was a different one that I hadn't seen before, and it really went into a lot of the history of the original ownership. Did you see that? It was in the comments.
I didn't see that article, no.
Okay. It was in the comments. It was one of the initial comments. It was really kind of like, I got to go back and read this because this could be interesting. Because there's another place, somebody had posted, I forgot what the website was, but it was one of those like strange sites. And they had posted about this house 10 years ago or so. And then as I'm reading it, I get to the bottom of the story. And then there's a YouTube video and it's me. It's me talking about the show or talking about the house on one of the very, very early episodes of the show. And it's like, and this podcaster discussed this house as well. I'm like, oh, my God.
And there you are.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's a neat video. Check it out. I'm really like, I'm running through my mind because some of those windows were broken. And who's to say they're going to be broken and open next time? But I'm thinking about getting a tinier drone
to
literally go into the building. And see what that looks like. Because the one I got now is a little bit too big for it, but I'm wondering if that could be done. I'd have to get a lot better at flying this thing if I'm going to do that.
I'm really angry at whoever owns it and has left it go that far.
Yeah.
It just really bothers me.
I want to know what the reason is. I mean, everyone's like, there's no reason. There's, why would you be sitting on this beautiful house for 60 some years, very valuable property that, that there was a development that was gone right next to it that I'm sure somebody would have gladly bought that up and, you know, probably knocked it down. Not that I want it to be knocked down, but why are we sitting on this thing that, and nothing's done to it? I mean, it's probably beyond repair at this point. Quite honestly, just knowing how it's been there with to the elements all these years. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'd love to explore that house or do something with it, but it would be one of those almost like on HGTV where they buy the old house. Like, okay, we're going to fix it up. And you watch them do it and they literally almost tear the whole house down.
Right.
And then
right.
rebuild. It's like, that's not the same house anymore. You've just built an identical house on the property with new wood. And it's like, and sometimes like we couldn't use any of the wood because it was rotting, but we kept some of the doorknobs. So the only thing that's really the doorknobs, like that's just not the same thing. So
ironically, as you're talking, I'm like, I found the article you're talking about and I'm scrolling down and sure enough, there's your YouTube video on there. So
exactly. So, yeah, it's an interesting place. Really cool video. I'd like to get more next time. If I go back in summer, there's going to be leaves on the trees. I think that was my one blessing this time was, I didn't have to worry about all the leaves, but, yeah, it was interesting to see it that close up and see the eyes staring at me through the window,
mm-hmm.
glowing red. No, but it's a neat place, and it'll probably outlive both of us. It'll just still be
there. I hope so.
It's outlived many. I don't know why it wouldn't us. So, all right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.